Dan O'Hara. Heute live aus dem Connemara Heritage and History Center, auch bekannt als Dan O'Hara's Homestead, einem Freilichtmuseum im Dorf Lettershia in Galway. In diesem Museum könnt ihr Workshops machen, Vorführungen ansehen, ein Cottage besichtigen, Poutine probieren, aber vor allem auch lokale Musik genießen und mitsingen. Und zwar heute interviewen wir Martin. Martin ist Inhaber des Heritage Centers, das auch in Bed and Breakfast beherbergt, und ein großartiger Storyteller, aber auch Sänger. In diesem Beitrag, in dieser Episode, geht es um Dan O'Hara und seine tragische Geschichte. Dan O'Hara ist ein Bauer aus Connemara in Irland, der sein Zuhause durch den bösen Landlord verloren hat und jetzt in New York im Schnee versucht, im dichten Schneetreiben Streichhölzer zu verkaufen und so zu überleben. Er bittet und bettelt die Leute an, ihm eine Schachtel Streichhölzer abzukaufen und verspricht, dass die Gebete von Dan aus Connemara sie unterstützen werden, ihnen helfen werden. Dieser Song, dieser bekannte irische Song, drückt sowohl die Trauer und Verzweiflung von Dan aus, als auch die Hoffnung und seinen Glauben, dass er eines Tages sein Glück finden wird. Allerdings, wie das ausgeht, das erzählt uns Martin in diesem Interview.
So how did you had the idea of being here, or are you local, or?
I can go back here in the mountains about 8 generations. My parents, grandparents, great-great-grandparents were all from the mountains here. And a lot of those of my ancestors then would have gone to America. I had uncles, there was 5 brothers in my father's family, 4 of them went to America. And that's the way it was back in the 1920s. A lot of the people here immigrated to America, Canada, and as far away as Australia. Some of them went to England as well for a short time, and if they could, then they'd get to America. And they'd done very well in America, as you know. You know, they came to very high places, a lot of them. But the people here, like, were around here for maybe 1,000 years. They were untouched, like, for 1,000 years. There's no roads here if you go back in the 1840s. There's only bridle paths. And there's very little intrusion here. So the people stayed the same. And those people were pretty Celtic, tall, a lot of red hair, fair hair, fair complexion, and blue eyes. They were the blue-eyed Celts. And they originally maybe came from Central Europe, maybe going back thousands of years, we don't know. But they were a Celtic race. And then I'm farming here then. My ancestors was farming for hundreds of years in the mountains. And that's what I'm still doing today. I keep sheep, cattle, ponies and donkeys. And then about 33 years ago, I done agri-tourism here, and today it's going very well. I get lots of Americans here, I get Danish, Swedish, Norwegian, Finland, and countries like that. Americans, of course, Germans, French, mostly Germans and French we get here, and then the Americans, but we get a lot of the Nordic countries as well. And they seem to have come here, they're coming here year after year. The Germans are coming here year after year. We don't advertise there much, but they still know that when they come here, they get a good tour, they meet the indigenous people like myself, and we tell them the story. We show them what it was really like back in the 1840s. And everything you see here is exactly as it was in 1840. It's put back the same way. Of course, it was felled, it's reconstructed, but everything was carefully put back in its own place.
Yeah, and I like that you play with the senses. So you have the smell of the turf fire.
Yeah, the smell of the turf fire. And they love that as well when they come in here. They want to know, what does the turf smell like? You know, I cut the turf down here for them, show them how it's cut. And then they ask, what does it smell like? Well, I said, wait a while now, we're going up to the cottage. And we have the fire down here all day long. We bring the tourists in and they love that.
And Dan O'Hara stands for a lot of Irish people.
Dan O'Hara would replicate millions of Irish people. The song, like, you know, the landlord came, you know, and he laid my old home low. My poor old wife and I were sadly parted. We were scattered far and wide, and my children starved and died. So it's here I am today, you're broken-hearted. Not only is that song telling a story about Dan O'Hara, it's replicating millions of Irish stories. And today, as you know, 50 million claiming Irish descent within the United States. The two largest ethnic groupings in America are the Irish and the Germans.
But who was Dan O'Hara?
Dan O'Hara was just an ordinary guy that lived here. He was well-liked. There was dances here. There was card games here. There was two recorded marriages that stemmed from meetings in this little cottage. So you're standing outside the 1840 ballroom of romance in this immediate area. And Dan O'Hara was just an ordinary guy that, without the Celtic singing and the Celtic culture, would never have been written into history. Because victors write the history. Dan O'Hara was a Mr. Nobody that went over to America and he was selling matches on the streets of New York. He was... He had no English language, speaking in the native Gaelic or Celtic language, and he ended up on the streets of New York. He died within a few years, but Dan O'Hara became a legend in song and story. And not only is it the story of Dan O'Hara, as I said, but it's replicating millions of Irish stories. And when the Americans come back here and they listen to that story, there's women inside there in the cottage, and would you believe it, they're crying. Because it's their story as well. Their grandparents had to go to America. A lot of them died on the journeys and things like that.
Mm-hmm. And how do we know that this story happened? It's like, are there sources without songs or?
Pardon?
Are the songs the sources or?
Oh no, we have the story of Dan O'Hara as well. We know he lived here. We researched it. This was the home of Dan O'Hara. There was another house over there. Just there's a lot of other houses tumbled down there. And this was a good house. And this was a house where it had a stone floor. A lot of the houses here, we researched them, they had mud floors. But this had a stone floor. So there was dances here. So a lot of people came here and they knew him. And he probably was a good storyteller. And that's the reason then that Dan O'Hara is renowned today in song and story. If you want to go down, I will talk to you below now as well. Mm-hmm. I'll bring those group down.
Okay.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Isn't there a song about Dan O'Hara?
There is, yeah. Dan O'Hara, the song, it tells a story about who he was. And Dan O'Hara went to America. His wife died on the journey and three of his children died. When he arrived in America then, he had no knowledge of this English language. Because this place is not infiltrated by the English. So the people living here, there's no roads, and they're speaking their Gaelic, Celtic language, and they're also they've also their own traditions. The music, the singing, the dancing, the music, the Gaelic game. They're Celts, they're not touched. And then when Dan O'Hara goes to America then, wife dies on the journey, three of his children dies, he's destitute when he arrives in New York. You imagine a man where his wife is dead, three of his children is dead, and he has no money, so he'll do anything. So he's selling matches on the streets of New York. The story then is back and over. There's Irish in New York. They tell the story here. You have the bards here. You have the poets. And they put this into stories. And then the story of Dan O'Hara has to be told in a song. Of course, the story in the song is about an ordinary, small person living in the west of Ireland. He would never get into history, but in Celtic history he did, because this is the way they're told in songs. And if you take a verse of the song, it would say, "Sure it's poor I am today, For God gave and took away, and left without a home poor Dan O'Hara. With these matches in my hand, in the frost and snow I stand. So it's here I am today, your broken hearted. A cushly gal Machree, a cushly gal Machree, the blessing of my heart on you. So he's selling matches on the streets of New York, and he's saying, a cushly gal Machree, won't you buy a box from me? You'll have the prayers of Dan from Connemara. I'll sell them cheap and low. Buy a box before you go from the broken-hearted farmer, Dan O'Hara. So the song is
wow.
Story. And that's replicating millions of Irish stories. The way they could put songs together and the way they could sing them and phrase them said a lot about those people. It says a lot about them. It says a lot about ordinary people able to do that. You know, you're talking today about a local small farmer. A lot of them were not able to read or write, but yet they had knowledge. They had knowledge, and they had that was verbal knowledge.
Because they also had to survive here. It's not that good of a climate, as you said. So it's wet most of the time.
Wet in the winter time, and damp, and the dark in the winter time as well. You have some nice summer days like you have now. You can save the turf. You could save the hay. They had to save their crops. They did that, but it was all done on a marginal basis. They were living from hand to mouth in those days. They were living on a very marginal sphere of a situation, because they had to save that bit of turf, they had to save the hay to feed their cattle, they had to save the bit of grain, they had to the barley, the oats, they had to save the bit of wheat for flour. They had to mill their own flour. They had to make their own whiskey. So they had everything. They had their own milk, their cow, the milk, the butter, the cheese, the fish in the rivers and the lakes. They had the bit of meat. They had their vegetables in the ground. They had their potatoes. So they had a good, nutritious diet, provided everything went well. But sometimes the weather went against them too. And they had a lean period. But eventually they got over it. And then with the dominance of this country being dominated for hundreds of years by an outside country, did not help either, because those people were kept down. The landlords came here and took advantage of the crops that was growing here, exported the beef and the lamb, and a million people were let die of starvation in a country that was in abundance with food. And at that time, we were within the richest empire in the world. Why was this allowed to happen? This is bad politics. It's not people, it's politics.
But one way to survive that kind of is singing, isn't it? Because it keeps you alive, it keeps you living.
Of course it does, yeah. It keeps the community together. People are visiting, people are telling stories, they come together, they tell stories, the children come together, they sing their songs, and there's a bit of joy. They have their bit of whiskey then as well, if they have that, and it sort of make other things disappear. And that's what they were trying to do. They were trying to survive in a race against time, really. It was a race against time. There's a lot of things that are unwritten, and that's why in the Celtic world as well, they didn't write down. They put it into stories and songs. That's why you have so many stories in Ireland. You have so many songs. Their songs told the stories. You have the Romans were all over Europe. Romans were fighting the Celts in Europe for 1,000 years, if you like, in Austria, Switzerland, Germany, France, places like that, driving them to the peripheries. The Romans wrote down the history, but you won't get written Celtic history.
Caesar,
exactly, yeah. And you'll get it, listen to the old songs in Ireland. They're all telling stories. And I think it was a great way to remember your history as well, because people will remember songs and they pass songs from generation to generation. There are songs in Ireland and they're hundreds of years old and they're still resurrected
the
again.
The experience that you have here, how long does it exist already, the museum?
It exists now about 33 years. Yeah, I done this about 33 years ago. I turned it into a visitor attraction, and it has worked well. The first year I had about, happy enough, I had about 5,000 visitors. The first year, maybe a bit less, between 4,000 and 5,000. Now I have 65,000 visitors coming every year. Give them good quality and they're coming back. Mm-hmm. The guides will come back if they get a good quality tour. The people enjoy it, the people talks about it, and then they want their companies to come here again, and they do come here, and I'm very happy with it. The only thing I want to get somebody else now after me to do it. I have two sons, but again, they're well educated. You see, one of them is a lawyer, and the other fellow is an engineer. But the engineer now is with me here a lot, and we try to work together. And I'll try to pass it on to the next generation, you know, and hopefully it'll work. I'd like to see it being ran and people will come back again and again and enjoy the experience. And I think in Connemara, I think things can't but get better. Because I think with the way the global warming and everything, I think people from other countries in Europe will probably come here to cool down. There'll be a coolness here. A lot of countries in the last few years, you hear about temperatures rising to 40 degrees and things like that. And you think, 40 degrees? I wouldn't survive there. We wouldn't survive there. And I think the west of Ireland, you don't get that high temperature here. You don't get cold winters. You don't get snow. You don't get frost. You get an adequate amount of rain, all right, but if you have the right clothing on, you can still walk out around there, you can still enjoy it. We don't get any heavy rain. I would call it liquid sunshine, really, you know, it's light light rain. So it's a good place to spend a holiday. And I see people coming here from America, some states very hot, and they stay here for 6 to 8 weeks, some of them. And they stay out of the heat. And they say they come to the west of Ireland and it's a relaxing place to stay. You don't meet too many bad people here, because to come here, you must have money. You won't get beggars coming here, because who will they beg from, you see? You go to a little town like Clifton, there's nice restaurants. They're pretty expensive. So you don't get people without money coming there, so you don't get poor people coming there, so you don't get people begging on the streets, you know, like in Dublin and places like that, because there's not an awful lot of people around here, and the people that are around here are people that's on a holiday, they're enjoying themselves, they're going to the beach. It's not crowded. You can go to a beach in Connemara and there might be no one on that big beach only yourself.
What is your favourite beach?
Pardon? I'd say Roundstone, Murvey and Dogs Bay in Roundstone. They're lovely beaches. I often go there for a walk myself on a hot evening if I have the time. But there's also nice beaches off Clifton and Ballyconeely as well. There's lots of nice beaches around Connemara. That's just to name a few, like. There's lots. They're all nice beaches. They're white sandy beaches. You probably have visited them yourself. But now, few days, you could almost jump into the sea because the temperature would be rising as well. And if you go to a beach now in the evening time, and the tide coming in the evening. That's the best time to go because the tide is coming in over the hot sand. So the hot sand is heating the water as well. If you went there in the morning, it's cool. And maybe in the middle of the day, it's but when the tide comes in late in the evening, even the sun has gone down, but the tide is coming in over the hot sand, and that's heating the water. It's bringing up the temperature. It's a good time to go to the beach.
Thank you for the tip. So we know what you do tomorrow night. Are you open every day?
Open every day, 7 days a week from April to the end of October. And we open then on request after that. We say bus tours are booked in. And even in December, we take a bus tour. Everything might be open to you, but you'd have the facilities, you'd have the tea and the coffee and things like that, and a tractor ride to the cottage and the viewing point on the top of the hill. We do the full tour, but it has to be more than 20 people, you know, to make it profitable or to cover the cost.
But you live here in the region, so you're close by.
Exactly, because I get a phone call and somebody says, would you do a tour tomorrow, Martin? And if I'm here, like, yes, I'll do the tour. I'll put the fire down the cottage and I'll get a few things ready here. The doors are open. They can use the toilets, the facilities. If you're on a boiler there and you have a cup of coffee and a bit of cake, Bob's your uncle.
And you have a homepage too?
I have. I don't look at that at all. Somebody puts it up. It's there, like, but I hope it looks all right, you know.
Thank you very, very much for your time. It was a pleasure.
Enjoy the rest of your holiday and come back again. And it'll be always Ced Míle Fáilte. Good Irish welcome. 100,000 welcomes.
Thanks.
Ich hoffe, dass euch diese Episode gefallen hat. Da wir in den letzten Wochen etwas rar gemacht haben, was eben auch an unseren anderen Podcasts liegt. Also wir waren jetzt in Venedig, da haben wir auch fleißig Podcasts aufgenommen. Ihr könnt es gerne mal in unserem Partner-Podcast euch anhören. Erlebnis Venedig. Ist der Erlebnis Irland jetzt leider etwas zu kurz gekommen. Aber da wir im Mai dann unseren nächsten Trip nach Irland starten und wir da wieder Unmengen neues Material aufnehmen werden, müssen wir jetzt mal gucken, dass wir die anderen Sachen alle on air stellen. Deshalb wird im März jetzt jede Woche eine Episode online gehen. Und ich hoffe, dass ihr uns dann auch wieder mit nach Irland begleitet, dass ihr dann eben reinhört, zuhört. Wenn ihr Lust habt, dann schaut gerne mal auf unserer Seite Erlebnis Irland vorbei, beziehungsweise auf unserer Seite Fotoerlebnisse vorbei. Wir bieten auch dieses Jahr wieder spannende Touren, beziehungsweise spannende Workshops, Fotoreisen nach Irland. Und wenn ihr Bock habt, direkt mit uns zu reden, zu chatten, dann könnt ihr das gerne über unsere Facebook-Gruppe machen oder über unsere Facebook-Seite, über unsere Facebook-Gruppe eben Erlebnis Irland. Ich verlinke das alles in den Shownotes, genauso auch wie ihr das Dan O'Hara Homestead und das Heritage Center findet. Das hinterlegen wir alles in den Shownotes. Ansonsten vielen Dank, dass du mit dabei warst. Bis ganz, ganz bald, dein Chris. Und?
Deine Fee.
Hallo? Hallo. You want to come inside? I want you to join in the chorus here. We're doing a chorus. I know you all know this song. And you'll help me out with it, okay? Stand in here and you'll help me out with this song. In ordinary country in the world. And it goes like... My bonnie lies over the ocean. My bonnie lies over the sea. My bonnie lies over the ocean. Oh, bring back my bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back my bonnie to me. Bring back, oh, bring back, oh, bring back. my Bonnie to me. Now the Irish version. One song, it goes, my Bonnie lies over the ocean. My Bonnie lies over the sea. My father lied over my mother, and that's where my mother got me. Now I'm telling you too much about myself.